Amen. That's part of being a church. Being a church is celebrating together. Being a church is grieving, weeping even, together. Because life is unexpected. I mean, even for me, this week looked a lot different than I expected it to. And speaking of the unexpected, I do remember once, I was going for, I don't run much anymore, too old, but I was going for a run. I was in my 20s, and I was at a public park, a dog park. And if you ever, maybe you've done this walking or even on a bicycle or whatever, but you know, you can't see spider webs from a distance. And so I'm running under this tree, and there's this like, it must have been like a golden orb or something, huge spider web. And I run through this spider web, and it's just, you know what happens? You're all of a sudden, I'm still running, but rather than just like doing that, I'm doing all of this weird dance. It's getting, you know, it gets in your eyes, it's getting in my ears, getting in my hair. I had hair. And I'm just doing all these weird movements, but it's a public park. And so there's people like walking their dogs and they're looking at this enormous lanky guy just like doing this weird disco move. And even from a distance, I can see the look on their faces and they're thinking, who is this weirdo? Because they can't see what I've just run into. They don't know what's just happened. Have you had a situation like that where you found yourself in a context and you are sure that people are looking at you going, who is this weirdo? What planet is this person on? Maybe you felt like that at times. Maybe it's not just as immediate. Maybe you get a growing sense in a certain context, like, I just don't fit. I feel like I'm on the outer here. Perhaps you felt on the margins of relationships, of status, of a community. Maybe you've wondered ever if everyone's kind of known the unwritten, unspoken social rules that you weren't informed of. Ever been in a situation like that? Where you've just felt a bit weird, or that people are looking at you like, this guy's weird, or this girl's weird. Let me reassure you of something this morning. If you look through church history, you'll discover that many of the people who shaped the church were most profoundly, by the standards of their day, a little unusual, a little weird. I had a look at the saints of the church down through history, and there were so many examples. I've chosen just five this morning. St. Jerome decided to go and live in a desert as a hermit, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he had this habit of beating his chest with stones. What? Bizarre. Hildegard of Bingen experienced lifelong visions accompanied by blinding light and debilitating illness. She refused help for any of this stuff. St. John of the Cross wrote of mystical encounters with God. Crazy stuff. But at the same time, wrote the famous work, The Dark Night of the Soul, of senses of complete abandonment. Catherine of Siena, I like her. She's got a really interesting story. But she voluntarily imprisoned herself in a tiny room in her family's house for 3 years. Yeah. Bernard of Clairvaux practiced such severe fasting and self-denial that it permanently damaged his health. Bizarre people. Bizarre practices. Bizarre, strange lifestyles. The list could go on. But again and again, some of the greatest contributions to our understanding of God and some of the most beautiful words ever written about God don't come from platforms and popular people, but from the peculiar people. That's good news. And one such example is John the Baptist. Have you heard about this guy? He's weird. He's strange. But you know what? There is one word in particular that sums up the place from which John speaks, and that is the word wilderness. Wilderness. This word wilderness is like a hyperlink on a website, to use a Tim Mackey phrase. It's like when you click on it, it's got just a whole vast array of context and story in the Old Testament, the idea of the wilderness. But John speaks from the wilderness. Some people speak from the city square, some from a palace, some from the halls of power. John speaks from the wilderness. In an age of the influencer, isn't it interesting that we notice that God doesn't send an influencer, but an outsider to change the world? Right? Let's read about him in Matthew 3, verse 1 to 6. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan River, in other words, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. This morning, I want us to see three things just quickly that the wilderness produces in us and how those things actually prepare us for life lived beyond it. And those three things are these: obscurity, reliance, and clarity. Here we go, obscurity. I looked up this word obscurity this week in relation to individuals. One definition in the Cambridge Dictionary says this: the state of being unknown or forgotten, out there on the edges, if you like. And last week, Shell, of course, preached about Moses. If you missed it, I'd encourage you to go back and have a listen to her message. But think about Moses' story. That's a story of wilderness. For 40 years, though, he lived in Pharaoh's palace. He had education, he had influence, he had privilege, he had status. He was at the center of the center of the center of the center of Egyptian power. In other words, world power of the day. And then one impulsive decision changes everything. Knocks the Egyptian on the head. He becomes a murderer. Flees into the wilderness. What's the point? He goes from being a somebody to a nobody. To a nobody. Ever felt like that? For the first 40 years of his life, whenever Moses spoke, all the responses around him sounded like this: "Yes, sir. Right away, sir. Yes, Your Eminence. Absolutely." And then for the next 40 years of his life, every time he gives an instruction, you know what the response is? Bah. Quite a career change, isn't it? They don't care. Sheep don't care. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep. They kind of just do their own thing. Throughout Scripture, the wilderness is repeatedly associated with obscurity. Notice what obscurity does to John the Baptist. How does he see himself? Matthew 3:3, "This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord." Not the voice, a voice. That's how he defines himself. He says of himself later in John 3:30, he, that is Jesus he's referring to, "He must become greater, I must become less." Less. Matthew 3:11, "But someone is coming soon who is," this is John the Baptist speaking, "who is greater than I am, so much greater. I am not even worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals." John understands something remarkable, doesn't he? He's significant in God's purposes without believing himself to be the center of God's purposes. He does not have, here's a phrase I'm hearing a bit at the moment, main character syndrome. Have you heard this? John the Baptist does not have main character syndrome. Why? The wilderness has taught him humility. And humility is what protects him from being intoxicated by success once, spoiler alert, people begin to flock to hear him. See, friends, sometimes God allows us a little wilderness before he uses us. Because obscurity develops the character that public influence requires. Number two, reliance. Have you ever had one of those weeks where like every bill just like turned up on the same week? So annoying. A few weeks ago, Alicia and I had one of those weeks, just the way things worked out timing-wise. It was the day before payday. We wanted to take Josh out for ice cream. I said to her, can you shout this one? She's like, I'm so broke. And I was like, she's like, what about you? I said, I'm broke as. Now, we can laugh about it because, you know, we've got a mortgage and we've got a savings account and an offset account. But you don't really want to touch that because that's for like, you know, doing up the house and stuff, especially when you're fitting out a new home. Here's the thing. John the Baptist doesn't have an offset account. What's an offset account? An offset account is a backup plan for those days when you're broke, right? Matthew tells us in Matthew 3:4, there I go, reading the wrong word. John's clothes were made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Here's the thing. He's not wearing Louis Vuitton. He's eating insects. And notice the word wild honey. Like honey is not being delivered to him in a jar from Coles. I had a bit of a thought about this when I was writing it this week. I'm just imagining John trying to get lunch, like, ow, ah, ah. Like, how many bee stings does he get? Wild honey. He's being fed by the literal providence of God around him in creation. Here's the point. The wilderness leaves you with no backup plan. You're forced to depend on God. Every day. That's John the Baptist's reality. That's his daily life. I mean, bugs. Perhaps that's where some of you are today. Given the week we've had as a church family, I know that there are some people listening to this morning who are literally depending on God moment by moment. We've acknowledged deep grief in our church today. There are moments in your life where you are relying on God just to get through the next 24 hours. For some people, that can be financially. For some people, spiritually. And we're aware at this time in our church's family, there might be some where that's emotionally. Just relying on God one day at a time. Maybe you've reached the point where all you can do right now is just trust Him. Simply to see the next sunrise. And if so, you're in good company. You're in good company. Listen to what God says to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 29. For 40 years, I led you through the wilderness. Yet your clothes and your sandals, they did not wear out. You ate no bread and drank no wine or other alcoholic drink. But He provided for you so that you would know that He is the Lord your God. Notice God's purpose here. It's not just to provide. He does that, but to teach dependence. The wilderness teaches us a reliance that will preserve our faith when the abundance finally comes. If you are in a place at the moment where you are just relying on God to get through the next 24 hours, that is teaching you a faith that will stand firm when the blessings do flow, I promise you. Clarity. Obscurity teaches humility. Reliance teaches dependence. Clarity teaches you purpose. Here's my definition of clarity. This is not a dictionary definition. Clarity is knowing what matters. That's it. That's my definition of clarity. Knowing what matters. It is knowing deep in your bones what is really important. See, John's spent years on the margins. No palace, no platform, no comfort, no distractions. Because everything unnecessary has been stripped away, he knows exactly who he is, and he knows exactly why God has sent him. He knows what's important. It's the message, and the message is simple, and it's clear. His message was, literally, Matthew says it, his message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That's it. No marketing campaign, no brand strategy, no carefully curated image, just crystal clear conviction. And what happens? What happens? The message doesn't stay in the wilderness, does it? It somehow penetrates. What's the result of such clarity? It goes, roll credits, beyond the wilderness. Matthew 3, verse 5, people from Jerusalem, from all of Judea, and from all over the Jordan Valley went out to hear John. What is that in today's language? People from the city, people from the country, people from the regions, people from the suburbs, the lot. That's what's being said. Now imagine someone standing knee-deep in the Avon River near Northern proclaiming. So here's a person, they're dressed in like some weird camel hair thing. And they're standing knee-deep in the beginning of the Avon descent out at Northern. And they're basically saying, repent, you're full of sin, God is coming. Now what do you think's going to happen? Well, imagine that scene, but also imagine there's a 20-kilometre traffic jam on 2J Road as half of Perth is emptied to go out and see him. That is what's happening in Matthew. It sounds ridiculous, but that is what happened. Why? Because clarity beats charisma every day of the week. And when the wilderness strips away everything that's secondary, we're left with what matters most, and that's purpose. And that's purpose. Do you know people are drawn to purpose? Do you know someone who you know that just, wow, man, they live on purpose? That's attractive. That's attractive. Are you living on purpose? Finally, God uses obscurity to build humility, reliance to build trustworthiness, clarity to build purpose that's relevant beyond the wilderness. Perhaps we might be able to say it another way. God uses the wilderness to build authentic people. To build authentic people. I know authentic's now even a buzzword, but really. Maybe it's said better by Henry Nouwen in his book, Bread for the Journey. Those who are marginal in the world are central in the church. I love that. And that's how it's supposed to be. But I also find it challenging and comforting all at once. It's challenging because now I've got to think about how much we reflect that statement as a church. Especially as a church whose stated purpose is sharing hope. But it's encouraging because so many of us have been in that conversation, been in that social context, or been in that workplace where we took a risk, we might have even shared our faith, and someone just looked at us like, you're weird. Maybe people have looked at us like, or looked at you like, you're from another planet. And do you know what? They're kind of right. Sometimes it's actually right to feel out of step, not because you're awkward, but because if you belong to Jesus, you're never going to fit fully the world's rhythms. That's the point. John the Baptist didn't fit. Jerome didn't fit. Hildegard didn't fit. Catherine didn't quite fit. Bernard, none of them fit. And maybe you don't either. And that's a good thing. So let me ask you three questions related to the wilderness that you may be in, or should be on the screen. If you are in the wilderness right now, can you trust that God is doing something in you? If you've got no backup plan, what are you learning from reliance? Or what's becoming clear to you in this season? And are you living with purpose? Don't rush to leave the wilderness before it's finished its work. Moses didn't get to skip his 40 years. John doesn't ask for a platform. And here's the hope underneath all of it. You know, John's message was, the kingdom of heaven is near. But you know what Jesus told Pilate at the end of the gospel? My kingdom is not of this world. So if you don't fit, that might be a good thing. It's why we can feel like outsiders sometimes. We belong somewhere else. The wilderness is not the destination, it's the road. So I just want to say this morning that if your season right now feels a bit like camel's hair, locusts, and bee stings, hold on. It's not where the story ends. Home is coming for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, for those of us at the moment that feel like things are a bit tough, we've been pushed out into a wilderness somewhere, or we feel like we don't fit somewhere, or there's just a little awkwardness, I pray that you would fill us with courage to live lives of big faith. Not big lives of faith, but lives, even if they might be small lives, of big faith. Believing that you are doing something. That when we are flailing or feeling like we are, that you are nonetheless advancing, either around us or within us. And I pray, Lord, for those especially in an emotional wilderness. I pray that in this darkness and in this difficulty, that you might do something precious, do something amazing in them and around them. Help us to have the patience to allow you to work in us. In Jesus' name we pray.